Well, I can tell you this, the sports life is on a major Super Bowl hangover. We haven't been on and put a pot out in like 3 weeks, and here I am, flying solo, no Uncle Clint, no Caden, I got no support, and I'm like, hey, if somebody's going to keep this thing going, it's going to be me. For whatever reason, Caden's kind of busy with school stuff. Uncle Clint totally stood me up tonight, said he forgot. But you know what? That's no problem, because that's kind of where we are in sports right now, right? You get that Super Bowl hangover and the other sports. There's nothing really that interesting going on, so you almost got to go out and seek your sports content. So we have not talked since the Super Bowl, since we gave our predictions for that game. And tonight, I want to look back at the Super Bowl, talk a little bit about it, cover some NFL free agency stuff and some potential trades. I also want to briefly, you know, we're going to touch on the big three. We're going to touch on a little bit of NBA, and we're also going to touch on a little bit of Cubs and Major League Baseball. So that's the goal tonight. I just want to hit the three big sports topics, and we are going to also have some good interviews coming, some good guests coming on later. But for right now, this is kind of that pod that says, hey, we haven't been doing anything for a while here, and I want to get something out. I want to get a pod set, and it's just me. So get ready, because it's the sports life, and I'm talking sports. Let's go. All right, everybody. Let's talk about this Super Bowl, right? I mean, we all know, and everybody knew going in, that Philadelphia was the better team. And the Chiefs were still favored. They were favored by, I think, a point and a half going into that game. And the reason being is Patrick Mahomes. He's the best quarterback in football. He's the best player that many of us have ever seen. And his teams win games. And this Chiefs team this year had a phenomenal record, but they really weren't a great team. They didn't have a great offense. They had a solid defense. They didn't have a good offensive line. They didn't really have a number one wide receiver after Rashee Rice went down. But yet, when you have a generational player like Patrick Mahomes, Vegas still sees the money go that way. And that's the way it was going here. So I'm on this kick where I'm like, this guy is now getting penalized right away. He's been in five Super Bowls. He's lost two. Brady only lost this many, and so on and so forth. Football's a team game. And for Patrick Mahomes to get criticized for getting that specific Chiefs team into the Super Bowl, to me, just doesn't make any sense. And this is why I'm in the minority when I tell you I'm not a ring counter. I don't look at these players and say, how many rings do they have? And that's going to qualify them as being the greatest of all time. Of course, it's a factor in that, just like statistics are, and you know, many other things play into being the GOAT. But winning Super Bowls is just one thing, and you're talking about football teams, which are massive. And for years and years, I mean, look at what's happening with Josh Allen right now. Similar things happened to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was just not on great teams, and there was a lot on his shoulders. And those teams were not going to have successful deep playoff runs a lot because they weren't great teams. But yet the reason that they were there and the reason that they were in the playoffs, the reason that they won the division was because of Peyton Manning. But that doesn't mean that that's a Super Bowl caliber team. Josh Allen has performed very good in the playoffs. You can look up his numbers. Josh Allen is a top-notch quarterback. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. A lot of people might even take Josh Allen as their first quarterback right now, but he hasn't had the success in the playoffs that people like Mahomes have had. But really, it's his team. Look at the defensive performances in the playoff losses that he has had. His defenses are routinely giving up 30-plus points. I'm sorry, if it's going to be on the offense's shoulders to put up a 35 to 42 point performance in a playoff game, that quarterback is just being put in a no-win situation when it comes to where they're going to stack up generationally or how they're going to stack up when it comes to conversations about who's the best, who's the GOAT, and this type of stuff. So again, I don't like the fact, I mean, Jalen Hurts outplayed Mahomes. If you're going to look at it that way, I really didn't think Mahomes had a lot of time to throw. The offensive line was a disaster. Looked a lot like what we watched all season in Chicago with Caleb Williams kind of running around, not having a lot of time to make decisions or get their job done, essentially. But again, to hold it against a guy that took a pretty average NFL team and took them to the number one seed and get them to the Super Bowl, I'm sorry, that guy's still the best. And I'll argue with people all day. I mean, I'll tell you right now, to me, that game, I thought he was better than Tom Brady before the game, and I think he's better after. These individual games, a playoff game here, a Super Bowl there, it doesn't matter to me. It's about what I see guys do on the field, how I see them perform, and ultimately all of their traits together as an athlete. When I look at Patrick Mahomes, he can do things that Tom Brady could never do on the football field. He could do things with his legs that Tom Brady couldn't do. He has a better arm than Tom Brady. I mean, he's got many things that he can do that Tom Brady couldn't do. So why am I calling one guy better than him? That wouldn't make any sense to me. So I'm gonna move on from that. But it's just something that bothered me. Like right away, I knew as soon as that game was not going Mahomes' way and he was not playing well, for whatever reason, whether he was missing throws or the offensive line, whatever it was, like I knew that was going to happen. I knew that that was going to be one of the media topics was immediately, yeah, that really puts him off Brady's pace. Well, I'm sorry, there's just not going to be that guy, many guys that hang around long enough to win seven rings. And it's, I mean, look at, I mean, if you jump to the NBA, LeBron James has lost in the finals, what, six times? So, and he's been penalized for that. Like his teams have not been favored in those series in which they've lost. I think of the six finals that LeBron's lost, I want to say they were favored in only that Dallas one, which was kind of the major mark on his whole career, was that first Dallas finals that they lost in Miami. But in general, he's been taking teams, he's taken many teams to the finals that were not very good. He's also taken teams that were good, but still not as good as who they were playing in the finals, and they were not favored in the vast majority of those times. And you look at that and you think, okay, so he's being penalized historically for getting his teams to the finals. That just doesn't make sense to me. Like you have to work your way through the playoffs to get there. You have to beat a lot of other good teams within your conference to get there. To penalize somebody for making it to the finals or the Super Bowl or whatever it might be will never make any sense to me. So I'm going to move on from that topic. Let's talk a little bit about the NFL free agency. Okay. There's a few names out there to me that are interesting. The big ones being Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers, and T. Higgins. Offhand, the Sam Darnold thing's interesting just because he had a good season last year, and that comes to that rookie quarterback scale, right? Like, they don't have full trust in this guy, so they're obviously not going to keep him at the dollar amount that they would have to pay him because they are under the rookie scale for JJ, and that's the route that they're going to go. So it makes sense when you think of it from that perspective, but again, it makes Darnold interesting. Like, where is he going to go? Where is he going to play next season? The answer to that for me could be the Giants, could be the Raiders. There's a few interesting destinations for him next year. I'm going to be curious. I personally think that Rodgers is going, they're all kind of like flirting with the same teams, right? Like, who needs a quarterback? And where are these guys going to land? I think Vegas is probably the landing spot for Rodgers. You got Brady involved there, and Rodgers, Raiders need to do something. They're going to take a stab at this. Why not take a stab at Rodgers for 1 year and pay him 15, 20 million, whatever he's going to cost, and see what he can do there with that team? I don't know. I mean, if you saw Rodgers this last year, if you looked at the paper on him, the numbers looked decent. But again, he didn't want to get hit, and he could not move the way Rodgers used to move. I mean, that to me, with Aaron Rodgers, you thought of two things. He moved kind of like Steve Young, and he threw the ball with there was no quarterback in history you can really compare to the way the ball leaves Aaron Rodgers' hand. The combination of those two things made him very lethal. So where does Aaron Rodgers end up? No matter what, if he's still in the NFL, he's going to be a story. People are going to talk about him. T. Higgins, Burrow wants him to stay in Cincy, of course. When you got the combination of Chase and Higgins on a team, you basically got two wide receiver ones, and they're with different styles, which I think is a killer combination, right? When you got a guy who's that strong, powerful, tall, throw it up, he's going to go get it guy, and then you got the hands and the quickness of a guy like Chase. You got like two wide receiver ones with different styles, super unique and perfect for a guy like Burrow that's just going to be able to game plan against whoever they're playing against and be like, this is going to be a T game. This is going to be a Jamar game. And you can see that kind of stuff when you look at the Bengals stats, where Chase obviously had a huge year last year. But even when you look at the game logs, you'll see games where it was like, hey, that was a T Higgins game. Like Burrow knew he was going to utilize that skill set more or those matchups more in specific games and really work that against the other team's defense. So T just feels like a Bengal to me. I don't know. I haven't read into a lot of where he might end up or where the interests are in T Higgins. I personally think that since he finds a way to keep him, but we'll have to stay tuned on that. T Higgins, there's a lot of organizations that would love to have him as a wide receiver one or wide receiver two. So we'll see where that one plays out. There's also a couple interesting trade potentials out there. You got the Matt Stafford thing, and that can kind of stir up where Darnold or Rodgers may end up, because Stafford right now wants to restructure and he wants to get paid like Tua and some of the guys that he's outperformed in recent years. But Stafford's 37 years old, going on 38 here. And what is, you know, LA basically said, go out and see what you can get. And Stafford wants to be in LA. But LA is, you know, they got a great coach. He's very smart. He wants to set them up. And I'm not sure that he wants to put, you know, $50 million towards Matthew Stafford right now. I just don't think that he thinks that that's going to work. So they have told Stafford to go see what's out there, and Stafford's going to find some takers out there. I mean, there's going to be guys that want to trade for him. You're going to see the Giants are going to be interested for sure. And there's going to be multiple teams out there that are going to look at. At the end of the day, they're going to figure something out. I mean, Stafford, somewhere outside of LA. I mean, is this guy really going to leave a situation with a, you know, really solid running back? He's got good wide receivers. He's got one of the best coaches in the league. He's got Southern California. He's settled there. Is he going to leave to go finish out his career with a risk like the Giants or a risk like the Raiders? I mean, figure it out, LA, and, you know, let Stafford finish it up out there. Teams are desperate for quarterbacks. So if he's really, you know, wanting to get the pay that he wants, he'll end up leaving. But I think he needs to smarten up too. And, like, you know, the teams that are not taking huge cap hits from their quarterbacks are typically the teams that are the most successful. I mean, look at the Eagles. Right, Jalen Hurts is getting paid, but the way that they've structured his deal is a lesser cap hit, and they're able to do things like they did last year by going and grabbing a player like Saquon Barkley. That made all the difference to them. Even in a Super Bowl where he was unable to get himself going, they had to focus on the run, and he was heavily focused on by KC. And they said, hey, we're going to stop Saquon at all costs and see if Hurts can beat us. And guess what? Hurts did end up beating them, but they had to sell out on the run in order to try to make it happen, and they sold out on the run and worked against them. So even though Saquon didn't have his traditional game like he had throughout the season, he's one of the guys that just made a huge difference for that team. And again, they were able to go pay him what they needed to pay him and get the job done. So those are some things. The NFL is always busy. They got the combine going on now. The NFL's always got a ton of stuff going on. So we can always sprinkle in a little NFL talk. But man, after that Super Bowl, there's like the NBA's kind of in this hangover zone. They're in the regular season, headed towards the All-Star break at the time. All the sports, you know, you're not even into baseball spring training yet. So for us who like to focus on NFL, NBA, MLB, this is kind of a quiet zone in sports. So for right now, we're going to move on. All right, next topic. I want to talk a little bit about baseball. And when I talk baseball, I like to talk about the Chicago Cubs, obviously. And they're in spring training right now. Their big move in the offseason was the Tucker signing, and Tucker's awesome. I mean, Tucker, that's a big move. But again, we're in a position where we got him for 1 year. Are we going to pay him? He's a young slugger. If this dude puts up his 35, 40 home runs, plays a bunch of games, 100 RBIs, holds down his spot in the outfield, like, are we going to be willing to pay this guy whatever he's looking for? Or is this a one-year rental, and why are the Cubs looking for a one-year rental on a team that's not really situated to make a push right now? So the Cubs are always a mystery to me, especially when I compare their franchises to, you know, I compare their franchise to the other major markets out there. I look at them offensively, even with Tucker, and I think to myself, look, I'm not even looking at the pitching staffs. I'm just looking at this offensive setup, and I start looking at these big threes in some of the other teams throughout the league. Okay. I look at the Mets now. And this stuff is all NL. I'm not even jumping to the American League. When you talk about the Mets, who are locking down Alonso, Lindor, and Soto, okay? Strength offensively. The Dodgers, who I don't even like to mention them, but Betts, Freeman, Ohtani. Okay, enough said. Move on from the Dodgers. The Phillies, Harper, Turner, Schwarber. The Braves, Ozuna, Olsen, Acuna. I mean, these are teams that you're going to have to get through come postseason time, and the middle of their lineups are just stacked. We're missing a piece, and if the Cubs don't make a move for Vlad Guerrero Jr., I'm going to lose my mind. The Cubs have the farm system. The Cubs have the prospects. They have a good first baseman right now in Bush that they can easily package up in a trade, okay? Because Toronto might be looking to get something for Vladdy. If they don't think they can get a deal done with him, are they going to just let him expire and let him go, or are they going to trade him? Are they going to trade him to somebody who can put together a really good package and give them some good players? He's the guy, if you are going to convince me that the Cubs are going to try to win a World Series in the next four seasons, he is the guy we have to make a push for. And again, is this Tucker thing going to hamstring the Cubs? Is it going to put the Cubs in a position to say, oh, we're going to sit back now because Tucker's having a great year and we're going to have to pay Tucker, so we're not going to make a move on a guy like Vladdy? Look, Vladdy, I've seen this guy play live. He's a phenomenal first baseman. He plays a ton. He's super durable. He's young. He's in his prime, and he hits like a machine. Show me you're serious. Cubs ownership, show me you're serious. Make a move on that guy. I've been talking about Vlad Jr. for a long time. I think he's going to be out there for the taking, and I don't want to see him end up in Yankee pinstripes. Because when you look at those big three players I just mentioned, there's a team that don't have a big three anymore, and it's the New York Yankees. And I'm sorry, the Yankees bring the dough. And if the Cubs aren't willing to do it, these generational players are just going to continue to slip through the cracks. Soto, Ohtani, you name them. Every year, here they come and there they go. And then we bring in a guy like Tucker on a one-year deal. Great. But then what are we going to pay him? If he really puts it in, are we going to pay him? It's just they're setting us true Cub fans up for disappointment. They're setting us up for a lot of podcast talk about how they're not willing to put the cash behind the team and go make deals happen like the Mets do, like the Dodgers do, like the Phillies do, like the Yankees do, all these other top franchises that are able to put the money on the table and get the job done and put a team out there that's going to compete for championships. I don't know anybody compete with the Dodgers, but at least show that we're trying here. I mean, it is a mecca down there. People who haven't been to Wrigley for a while, they go down there. It's like unrecognizable. Okay, they've created such a business model down there. Everything is Cubs. The stadium's full. It costs a fortune to go watch a game. It's unbelievable. I want to see that team put it together. Start making a run. Start making a run at something. Because I'll tell you, Chicago sports has been down. Chicago sports teams have been down. And there is a turning of the tide right now. Because this Bears, the changes that the Bears are making right now, the Bears are going to be a team. This Ben Johnson, this is going to be a team. The Cubs need to do the same. Chicago is one of the best sports cities in the world. Time to show it. Because we're not going to get it out of the Blackhawks, and we're not going to get it out of the Bulls. The Bulls are happy in the middle. We're certainly not going to get it out of the White Sox. So Cubs and Bears, it's showtime. It's showtime. Let's get it done, okay? Within the next 4 years, okay, we want a Super Bowl and we want a World Series back in town. Can you make it happen or not? Make it happen. We're moving on. All right, as we close this thing out, I'm going to talk a little bit of NBA because the last time we were on was when the Luka trade just happened, and then we went into the All-Star break, and one of the things I've noticed is that as an adult that I have a business, I'm busy, I have something called a sports quota, and it's just an internal clock. It's not, and I'm sure a lot of other dads out there are dealing with this, it's an internal clock. And it only allows you to watch so much sports, right? There's a reason that I'm not super well-versed on college sports. There's a reason that I don't watch a ton of college football, college basketball, things like that. It's because I only got so much time to watch sports. And during the football season, the NFL really takes up my time. I mean, that's where I'm willing to take that few hours on the weekend, on a Sunday, Monday night, Thursday hit again. I'm willing to invest that 8 hours a week or whatever it is to watch NFL football. I like it that much. It's fun. You can watch it with family. You can watch it with your kids. And it's just, you know, it's NFL football. It's one of the most pleasurable things to watch on TV when it comes to sports. But when that dies down and there's no baseball going on and there's no playoffs, I find myself naturally start to gravitate back towards the NBA. And I'll tell you, when football's on, I'm really not watching the NBA. The regular season is just kind of going by, checking the standings, some stats, figuring out who's hot, who's not, that kind of thing. But I'm not really watching that super closely. So right away, my sports quota, that natural clock that I have internally, starts kicking in, and I catch myself watching some basketball. Okay, first of all, the All-Star break, right? I like All-Star weekend. All-Star weekend has been going downhill for a very long time. And all I'm hearing around the All-Star weekend right after it is, what is the league going to do to fix the All-Star game? And guys are coming up with all these crazy scenarios, listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, how they're going to play for, you know, they're going to do different things with different playoff implications and home court through the playoffs and all these different scenarios. It's to me, if you have to do all those things to make that weekend interesting, that's just awful. Here's what needs to happen. The players need to care, okay? The players, it's like these guys are making so much money, okay, that they don't care about what they're putting out on the court. And they don't care about the product for their fans. Because right now, I'm sorry, why am I watching a dunk contest that doesn't have Ja Morant, that doesn't have Zion Williamson, okay, and Ant. Why is Ant? Why are those guys? You put Ant, Ja, and Zion in the slam dunk competition, and guess what? It's interesting again. So when people are trying to make all these changes to the format and to the, no, that's not what the problem is. The problem is that the people that are the best at these different events within the game that's themselves is not, they're not doing it. The best dunkers are not in the dunk contest. Many of the best three-point shooters are not in the three-point contest. I mean, let's be honest. And I know Steph can only win it so many times, but what's a three-point contest without Steph Curry? I mean, the guy's the greatest shooter ever, and it's like you want to see him in that. And it's one of the black marks on LeBron, too, is that why did LeBron never compete in the dunk contest? I mean, LeBron won a bunch of dunk contests in high school, okay? Why is he not doing that? I mean, LeBron should have done it for the game because it's like that passing that torch. Let LeBron go win a couple slam dunk competitions, and then he moves it down to the next guy, to John. But because the LeBron generation kind of skipped and decided not to do it, it made it okay for the next generation. It made it okay for John Morant. It made it okay for Zion to not participate in it. So guys, the answer to the question is not what do you need to change. It's get the players back engaged. Go play a real All-Star game. East versus West, okay? And go compete. Yeah, you can have some fun. First half, mess around. Try to keep it close. Throw up some alley-oops. Have some fun. Second half, buckle down and try to go win that basketball game. Be competitors. Make it another game. Not asking for guys to get injured. but I'm asking guys to go out and compete. Guys that are making millions of dollars to play the game that they love. Go out and do it. I don't understand it. So the answer to all this talk about how to make All-Star Weekend better has nothing to do with the format. It has nothing to do with the fans. It has nothing to do with any of that. It has everything to do with the guys on the court and their talents. Put the best guys out there, put on a show, and give us what we all want. Because I want to watch the dunk contest with those guys in it. And you know what? Max McClung's great, but I can watch 1,000 Max McClungs on YouTube, right? There's guys out there that have dedicated their life to dunking. There's guys out there that can do ridiculous things that NBA guys could never do because their craft is not working on dunking all day. So with respect to that dude, because he could jump out of the gym and he's a little guy, and I got much respect for his dunking and the fact that he's won three in a row, I don't need to see a guy that's not in the league. You know, that dunk competition, the NBA dunk contest. Why is a guy winning it that's not in the NBA? And if you want to have street ballers or outside ballers versus NBA players in a slam dunk contest, hey, okay, that's kind of a gimmick that might be interesting. Give me Ja, Ant, and Zion competing against McClung and some of these other dudes. I don't know their names, but I've seen them dunk. Heck, the Cavaliers had two dunkers compete in a dunk contest at their halftime the other day where the dunks were better than the NBA dunk competition, essentially. So these guys are out there that can do this stuff. And you could do something like that where the NBA players are competing against these professional dunkers, which could be kind of fun and interesting. But like I said, guys, show up. Do your jobs. Entertain the people. Give them what they want. I want the best players in the dunk contest. I want the best three-point shooters in the three-point contest. And I want the most skilled ball handlers and speed guys doing the skills challenges. You do that, and then you let these guys go compete for the win, East versus West, one, you know, going at it against each other just for the pride of who's got the crown, the East or the West. Go get it. Do those few things. Problem solved. So that's it for the All-Star game. But I got to tell you, besides that, I knew this Luka thing for Dallas was an absolute disaster. And I've had the pleasure of watching a couple of Laker games recently, and it's even worse than I thought. Dallas letting go of Luka. I mean, Luka is not even in game shape right now. And you can just see that this fit with the Lakers is there. It's there. LeBron James is like, he's like a chameleon on the court, man. He can do whatever you need him to do. He's going to fit into his environment. He's going to blend in wherever he needs to. The last game, LeBron played off the ball like the whole game when Luka was in there. So his assist numbers were down. Okay, but his rebounds were up, and he dropped 27, 28 points, whatever it was. Okay, LeBron and Luka, because of their basketball IQs, are going to work very well together. The Lakers right now, by moving Davis out and bringing Luka in, have made themselves an immediate contender again. And the reason they've done that is not necessarily because of how great the Lakers are with Luka and LeBron on the same team. There's not really a standout team. And people can say OKC. OKC is really good. But how confident are you to sit back and go, yeah, OKC is going to win the title this year? I don't think so. I mean, I think the most likely finals matchup is OKC versus Boston. But I don't think most true NBA fans would be super surprised if OKC ended up getting knocked out a little bit early. So that opens the door for a team like LA, who's got, whatever they got, 30 games left or so for those two to play together, figure things out. Right now they're playing really hard defense, which LeBron, I've seen him guarding all the positions again, which has been pretty wild to see. Not as quick, again, 40 years old now. But again, he's playing hard on defense, and he's playing well. LeBron's playing like a top 10 player in the league right now. So when you start to take these types of things into consideration, the X factor there, especially offensively, is Reeves. Reeves is a beast. Reeves likes playing with Luka. These guys are getting looks, man. LeBron and Luka are a couple of the best passers in the game. Shooters, if they can shoot, they're going to get good looks. They got to hit. Reeves, his offensive game, I've been watching him a lot more recently here. He looks phenomenal. Like, if Reeves is going to give you 20-plus You're looking at a LeBron-Luka Reeves combination that can be giving you 75 to 80 a game in the postseason. You don't need to get a whole lot from Rui Ngang after that. You know, a bunch of 8 to 12 point performances would be pretty solid from the rest of the cast there. And then it comes down to defense. Like, are the Lakers going to be able to keep up defensively? They're a little small now, but they got some pesky guys in the front court. So that'll be interesting to see. But, man, this Luka thing, I mean, the Lakers stole Luka. And the Lakers, even past the years, past the LeBron years here, are now set. They're going to have a top five player in the league for many years to come. I mean, people need to look and see what Luka Doncic has done to start off his career. He has one of the best starts, particularly offensively, to any career in NBA history. And the Lakers just swooped him up from Dallas without Dallas talking to any other teams. I mean, that this Nico guy running that place, he needs to be gone. I mean, there's no way Dallas... And again, the AD thing, God bless the guy. He's super talented, but within... What, the first game, he's got like 27 points in the first half, and then he goes down on a non-contact injury right out of the gate. It's like, that's AD. That's what you just traded for. And I'm sorry, but the warning signs were there. Like, you traded for AD. That should not have been a surprise to Nico that AD goes down. AD goes down every single game. Make no mistake. He might not be formally injured or on the injury report, but AD has some sort of ailment every night. Dallas fans are going to get exposed to that one. But this Luka LeBron thing, it's for real. And they're a wild card right now. Teams don't want to run into the Lakers right now. They're playing good basketball. They're playing hard. Believe it or not, J.J. Redick may actually be a pretty good coach. He's got those guys playing Thibodeau style. He's got those guys running hard, playing hard. If they can keep that mentality going into the playoffs and they can stay injury-free, why not? Why not when you got two of the best players in the game on the same team? It can happen, okay? Something still tells me Boston's got the most in the tank. They got the most depth. They got the postseason experience. They're not really – they know they don't need to have the foot on the gas pedal right now. They know they can coast. They know they don't need the one seed. They're not scared of the Cavs. I'll tell you right now, all year people have been waiting for the Cavs to fall back. All year. They have not fallen back. The Cavs are like 50 and 10, 49 and 10, something like that. The Cavs are for real. I watched them the other night. They don't need Mitchell to be hot all the time to win. They got guys that can hit threes. Their bigs play with confidence. They beat Memphis the other night, and they were going back and forth. Memphis is a really good team, and they were just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And it was like, man, this Cleveland team, like, they're not just going to let somebody come in and push them around. So Cleveland's going to be interesting. Cleveland is going to be a team that could give Boston some trouble. But, again, I don't think Cleveland's a team that's going to scare anybody. People are going to come in and take a shot. You know, they're going to take a shot at Cleveland and think that they can knock them out. So sometimes the intimidation factor in the playoffs is a big help. And, you know, I think Boston's got that right now. I think that people are worried about Boston. People believe in their hearts that Boston's got another level to this. And if Boston takes it to that level in the postseason, they might just walk their way right back to another title. So you got that. But, again, the West has the same thing going on, right? Denver doesn't have that fear factor anymore. Nobody's scared of Denver because Denver got knocked last year. So nobody's scared of OKC. The West doesn't have that team that people are like, oh, no, we don't want to run into them. Okay, everybody feels like, hey, if they get into one of those top six spots, they're going to have a chance to make a run at an NBA title. So this final run here in the NBA could be interesting. Obviously, in Chicago, we don't have much to talk about. The Bulls are kind of in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. They are not competitive right now. And if they can make something happen, if they can end up falling into the draft. Right now, somehow, they're still in the play-in. The Bulls are the only team mismanaged enough to accidentally make the play-in and keep themselves out of the lottery. So that is going to be very interesting to see what happens there, because they're trying to lose, but but not quite enough, because everybody that's just below them is like trying to lose more than them. And then out of nowhere, they go and blow out Philly by like 40 points. So those, their guys are just young enough to play hard enough to just get enough wins to keep them out of the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. So that might be kind of interesting, at least for Chicago Bulls fans to watch as the season goes down. But in terms of the NBA, I think we'll be in store for another solid NBA playoff. I mean, the Luka LeBron thing is interesting. There's the new younger teams, the OKC Thunder, the Memphis Grizzlies. They're deep. They got a lot of good players. They play good defense, which is what puts them over teams like the Lakers. The Nuggets still got the best player in the world in Jokic. But are there supplementary guys going to be there in the postseason? Is Murray going to step up the way he has in the past? You know, those things are yet to be seen. We just don't know what we're going to get. So I think the NBA playoffs are going to be fun. A lot of good action. For me, I still do think that you are going to see OKC against Boston, and I do think Boston is going to repeat. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised to see a Cleveland or an LA or somebody like that sneak in there as a wild card and really make a push at an NBA title. So that's my take on this. And if you're wondering why Caden's not here, he's been heading out to the gym in the evenings, and he's been broadcasting in the evenings. I'm really happy for him, man. He found his thing with this broadcasting. And he did, I think he did about 9 or 10 high school games this year between girls varsity basketball and boys varsity basketball. And his last game, he was switching off play-by-play with another kid, and he did the first quarter and the third quarter. And his third quarter, I mean, you could just, the improvement that he showed from the first game to the last game, he was rolling. I mean, he was really rolling. I was listening to him just going, man, he was on point with the, because I was watching the game on TV, and then I was piped into him on the radio, and the call was just phenomenal. He was spot on. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he continues to work on his craft there and graduate from, step to step in terms of his play-by-play, doing a little bit of TV, doing a little bit of radio, and hearing him as he continues to climb and get better at that. He's also, participating in sports. He's planning on doing 4 years of football, which I'm super proud of him for. That's a big commitment, and he's going to continue to try out for baseball, which trying out for baseball at the high school level is hit or miss. But I'm happy for him that he still loves the sport. He wants to keep playing it one way or the other. Make it or not. So he's, and as his dad, I'm just here for support. And for all the kids that I've coached, it makes me happy to see so many of these kids continuing to participate in athletics. And I see these guys at the gym. I see these guys at school. I see them in the various sports, all the way from, baseball to lacrosse, to football, to basketball. And I just feel like, it's been a pleasure for myself to be able to coach these guys in Little League baseball and rec league basketball and all the things from when they were younger, and then seeing all them grow up and get better at these sports and get stronger and more physical. And that's, like I said, that's spoken in terms of for my own son and also for a lot of his friends and guys that, I got to grow up and or that I've seen grow up and got to coach. So this is kind of a fun time in life. It's a fun experience. And my daughter's doing her thing too. She does cross country. She does equestrian. It's just exciting and it's fun, but it's busy. And that's why sometimes I'm sitting here looking going, the last pod we dropped was on February 8th. I mean, that's not good enough. We got to bring more. We got to be more consistent and get them out there because it's fun and it's good for Caden and what he's looking to potentially do for a career or for a major in college or whatever it might be. So being on this microphone, talking sports, it's not just fun. It's also something that, for him can be something that he turns into something a little more real than that. So I appreciate everybody joining us. I should say joining me as I fly solo tonight. Remember to like us, follow us, Spotify, Apple, wherever you guys get your pods. Give us a 5-star rating if you can. We try to get those, as many 5-star ratings as we can. We really appreciate anybody and everybody that listens to us. Y'all have a great night.